I got a great computer at home, you know, one of the nicer computers, but do you think I could figure out yesterday how to copy something over onto what I called a memory stick, they now call, Carly, a flash drive. I got it eventually, but I had to call a millennium, my niece, and say, how do I get this copied over from here to here? And then do this and get with this over here. And fine, as long as it got done. So praise God that we got that done. But I'm always very humbled to come before this body just because of some of the things that have occurred for me here. And what I want to encourage the body today as well is if God's calling you into a gifting or calling, you can't do it afraid. As the body of Christ, we're together. You know, I may say some things that you don't always agree with, but my heart is in the right place. I always ask the Lord what it is he wants to release to the body. And I don't come up here and say, gee, I may not say the right thing or something else. I expect that the Holy Spirit would come into your hearts and discern what the Lord's trying to release. And I encourage the body to do the same thing. We're not perfect this side of heaven. All right? We're not perfect this side of heaven. And I, for one, surely am not perfect. But I do believe that my heart's right, and I always go before the Lord. And there has been such a heaviness on my spirit the last 2 days as I'm asking the Lord. And I've been doing it as Pastor Tim asked me to come forward for a couple weeks. Lord, what is the word that you want to release? What is the word? And I wait on the Lord. And Thursday I'm going to Julie. I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting a word from the Lord. But the Lord shows up in his timing. And then Friday I was sitting at work in my secular job, and I'm going to have to take a half day off because something's going to start to flow. But there's always that, there was the heaviness on it. And then I went to my computer in my home office, and I just started to write. And as I do that, I feel, for me, it's the wind of the Holy Spirit on my hands. And I'm always looking around, is the window open? You know, you question it, but the reality is the Holy Spirit is always present. And we always want to rely on the Holy Spirit to allow the Word to come forth. So, Father God, my prayer is that the Word released today would be inspired by your Spirit, going forth, being released to both edify the body of believers here and also equip this body to advance the kingdom of God in a time such as this. In this very season that we have purposely been born into, and have no misunderstanding, you were purposely born for this time and this season. May we impact the atmosphere around us wherever you lead us through connection and activation with your word. And when I say word, I mean the living word, Jesus the Christ. And may all be done not for our own glory, but rather for your glory. This I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Good morning, body of Christ, or ecclesia. We are the body of Christ. And the word says, wherever two or more of us are gathered, there he is in the midst of us. So I have to say, good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Father God, and good morning, Holy Spirit. We welcome you into our midst. That Godhead is living in you and I. Even when we're not in this particular location, he's with us wherever we go. When you walk out that door today, the Godhead is with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thank you and we welcome you this day. I have two simple, or I should say the Holy Spirit has two simple but dynamic words for you to hear today. And those words are preferred seating. Let me repeat it. Preferred seating. You know, the good seats. The ones with unobstructed views. The ones that when you take your seat or you take your position, you're going to hear, see, receive everything you were destined to hear, see, and receive. Preferred seating. Reserved seating that has been purchased by another for you. You and I specifically. Very expensive. Very expensive, or rather very costly seating. It cost a great deal. Paid for at a precious price unlike any other. And it's reserved for you. It's reserved for you and I. There is a designated spot now with your name written on it. And it was even written in a book, in fact, so there is no question it was purchased for you. The seat, the position has long been reserved for you and long ago paid for by another for you. A designated seat, a position ordained for you since the very beginning of time, and it's yours if you choose to accept it. It's yours if you choose to take your position, or rather, take your seat. And the issue here is that no one else can make that decision for you. The Lord can speak through me. The Lord can speak through others. Your family can raise you up in a given way. But you have to make the decision to take your position, or rather, take your seat. It's a choice you individually have to make. One could argue that the seat or the position only applies to a future time. And I respond to that, the time is now. It's not just for a future time, the time is now. The time to occupy is now. It's your time to take your seat or take your position. And the seat has comforts, benefits that apply even now. Perhaps not in the fullness of what we're going to experience when it comes in its fullness, but provisions just the same. Substance, backing, hear me, substance, backing, reinforcement are yours and I, even now, if you take your seat. And it is time to position yourselves. Things are unfolding even now, all around us. Our seat and your seat is located exactly where it's supposed to be, and is designed specifically to allow for, if you will, audience participation, because although the ending is established, and we know what the ending is, you have the ability to impact the plot, or rather, impact the journey along the way. This isn't couch potato sitting or seating. This seat is wired. It's plugged into a power source and equipped to move based on the situation and what is needed given what is going on around you. And I say in the auditorium because I'm giving a literal picture, but it's rather the atmosphere around you. The seat is adaptable, adjustable for every situation and absolutely every occasion. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It's adjustable to whatever it is that you have need of in the moment. Elevated seating. Elevated so that anything in front of you will not be allowed to prevent you from hearing, seeing, and experiencing, and also receiving direction for what is needed next. You will have the understanding you need to follow along because obstacles in front of you, you have the power to see beyond and, yes, overcome. I can take my seat, and whatever's in front of me, whatever it is I have to face or that's an obstacle, is not an obstacle because I have been elevated above it. I'm in preferred seating. Like an auditorium, going to a play, an opera, whatever it is, I'm elevated above what's in front of me. Your seat comes with a thick cushion for comfort. And it can take any shock or jolt and bounce back. It is designed with the very best material to deal with rough situations or rough handling. The seat has a supportive back. Hear me. The seat that you're to sit in has a supportive back, as well as it will allow you to stand then upright. You don't need to slouch or sink back because of what is going on around you or in front of you. That support that you have is unfailing. Hear me, it's unfailing. Amen. And it is not moved by the circumstances that are around you. And have I mentioned the outstretched arms of that seat? And that's the important thing. Outstretched arms of the seat that you have been positioned to be in. Ready and able to support you and to lift you up if perchance you do fall back from your position. Those arms are there time and time again, and they never wear out. In the natural, a chair, seat, cushions, arms will wear out. This position, this chair where you're seated, those arms don't wear out. They're always the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. Is the picture being portrayed becoming clear to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus? I speak of seating in terms of a natural chair, but we serve a supernatural God. And what is really being poured out this morning is that you and I are to be joined or seated in Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word for seated being yashab. Let us, in other words, be established in Christ. Let us dwell in Christ. Remain in Christ. Be settled in Christ. Let us inhabit the place that has been purchased for us by His precious blood. The sacrificial lamb that came to take away the sins of the world. Re-established what was lost way back in the Garden of Eden, separated from God because of the first Adam's sin, but realigned, praise Jesus, made right by the shed blood of the second Adam, Christ. Atonement, the word says, always requires the shedding of blood, a blood covering. Jesus shed His blood for you and I. He died once for all. So yes, I speak of salvation, being saved as the first and foremost. We must be seated in His salvation, purchased for us by the body and blood of Christ Jesus. Salvation is in Jesus. Salvation is in Jesus. I encourage you to be seated in that. Accept this free gift of salvation. You can't buy it. It's free. It's free to everyone that will receive it and position themselves in it. Dwell in it. Remain in it. Waver not from it. Because I'm telling you this morning, it's a sure thing. It's a sure thing, salvation in Jesus Christ. And if you position yourself in that, you can handle whatever's coming before you. Okay? Salvation. Being seated in salvation. Preferred seating bought to you through Christ because of the shed blood. Giving of His body and blood. And it's sure. It's established. It's not changed by the environment around you. It's not changed by what people may say to you. It is or isn't real. I know. I've established it in my heart. Salvation is real. Salvation is through Christ Jesus. No one's going to tell me otherwise. I'm going to hold fast to that, be established in it, dwell in it, and take that position from here till I'm called home. The way to the Father. The way to salvation is through Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Jesus is the way and the only way. And there's people out there saying otherwise. He's the only way according to the Word. He is the Word. Although we don't understand everything that's to come and what that entails, Jesus is the way and the only way, and a place has been prepared for us through salvation. And it's indescribable. I can't even begin to imagine how wonderful this place is. Revelation gives us a glimpse, a very small glimpse, but it's wonderful. Okay? Jesus is that way to get there. You're not good enough for such, some say. And I beg to differ. You are good enough because He's good enough. It doesn't matter how you come to Jesus. You're good enough. He died for you. There isn't anyone in the room that He didn't die for. You are good enough. God begs to differ because Jesus is good enough to cover you. Jesus was good enough even for you. Jesus shed His blood for you and I. So come to Him with your mess. Come to Him with your mess, your past, your pain, your failures. And even the failures that may occur now, and He will cover you. He'll get you healed. Come just as you are, and have an expectancy to be forever wonderfully transformed. Wonderfully transformed. People say, I can't come to Jesus, I've got so much mess. That's how He came. He came to deal with the mess. Oh, I've got too many sins. I've got too many horrible things I've done. Great! He wants you to come in that place that you're at right now because he wants to heal you. He wants to get you healed, not so that you can become a couch potato in your position, but rather so that you can be activated to do what he had destined you to do before you were even created in your mother's womb. He had a plan, purpose, and destiny. You may have got sidetracked along the way, but I can assure you, you have a destiny. And Jesus wants to get you healed to walk through and fulfill what he's called you to do. Some scriptures to ponder. Acts 4:12, and it says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus. Jesus. I get up in the morning, I get through my day, I've got maybe a terribly busy day before me. Jesus. He walks with us into any situation. Someone coming in and attacking me, and guess what? When you do ministry, you get attacked a lot. When you do a secular job, you get attacked a lot. Adversaries always coming out, people are coming against you, and I have to remember, I got up this morning because I'm serving Jesus. Even in my secular job, opportunities can awake for you to release the word, for you to be kind to someone, show the love of God through the situation that you're in. Romans 5:6 says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one God, and only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at a proper time." 1 Peter 2:24. "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed," or his stripes. "For you were continually strained like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." And I like the word guardian because I work in probate. What is a guardian? Does anybody know? Someone who takes care of you because through disability of some sort, you are unable to make decisions for yourself. And that guardian comes in and makes sure that everything you need is met. Amen. Jesus. The guardian of our souls. 1 John 4:9. "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." In other words, Christ was an atoning victim for us. Christ became a substitute for us. Assumed our obligations, covering our guilt by the punishment he endured, so that we are now reconciled, or rather made right with God, as if sin never entered into the garden, because Jesus cleaned up that mess. He's the great cleaner-upper, as I've said before. Great cleaner-upper. I, for one, was messed up, and on occasion, I have occasion to mess up. Now and again. But I chose Christ unto salvation. I am seated in him through my own free will, through my own free choosing. I have opted to assume the position of being grounded and rooted in Christ, Jesus, and so I know he has my back. I'm covered unto salvation, and I'm positioned well for the journey along the way. The word says God sent Jesus into the world not to judge it, but rather that the world might be saved through him. So loved us, gave his only begotten Son for us. And if we believe in him, the word says we're not going to perish. We get to have eternal life with him, the Godhead, which is far better, far more superior than any life we could ever have imagined this side of eternity. In Isaiah 53, it says, "Surely he bore our griefs and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scorching we are healed." Seated in Christ. Seated in salvation. I know that my Redeemer lives. My trust and faith is in him. I've taken my position in this vein. No complicated formula. No to-do list. Christ did it all. And you can get stuck in with people that are going to tell you, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do one thing. Come to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, obviously, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you on how to walk in Jesus. But it's not a complicated formula. He was crushed for our iniquities, the chastising for our well-being upon him. I am in alignment. And as the word says in Romans, I'm confessing with my mouth Jesus is my Lord and Savior, believing in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. And I believe as a result of that, I know as a result of that, that I'm saved. And when you confess, you really confess. If you believe, you're really believing who Jesus the Christ was. And you're saved. Amen. You're saved. Romans 10:3, "For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." John says that the commandment that we, 1 John 3:23, "This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another." That's not difficult to remember. I don't have to go through a list of, I got to do 8,000 things. I just have to remember, I have to believe on the one he sent. Now the Holy Spirit then convicts me. And I don't get away with anything. I don't know about you. I do something that's not right. My spirit is heavy. I got to go back and repent. Now, there's some preachers out there that say, you don't have to repent. Your sins are covered. Yes, they're covered, but you still have to come to the Lord and ask forgiveness, right? Otherwise, we could be saved and we could just do anything we want, walk around. That's not the body of Christ. But it doesn't mean you're going to walk perfect. I have not yet become perfect, and I won't be until I get home. But I try and I strive for the mark to be more Christ-like. I fail, I get back up. People attack me, I bring the love of Christ. Ask and pray in the Spirit that the Lord would bring healing to them because there's something going on in their lives. Okay? Because I represent Christ in the earth, I've got to be careful how I walk in the earth. It's easy to take on all the things that are going on around us and get angry. And there's just righteous anger. And I'm not suggesting other words. But the reality is we've got to walk like Christ because the only way others are going to experience the transforming power, the healing power, the salvation that's brought forth is for Jesus to walk through us in the earth. And every opportunity you get, whether you be in a secular job, whether you be in ministry, wherever you are now going forth, and Jesus wants to operate through you. So how do we treat people? We have to treat them as Jesus would. Taking the position in Christ, dwelling in Christ, onto salvation indeed, let it be established in our hearts and confessed on our lips. So I guess that's the end of the word. Salvation. We're saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not the end of the word. We're here. We haven't gotten to that place prepared for us yet. We are journeying along the path to our eternal destiny, and we need to be positioned in Christ for the journey as well. We need to take our seat purchased by his blood, reserved for us. And I say, have you got Jesus? If you don't have Jesus walking in the earth here, it's going to be rough, okay? Especially rough. We have to have Jesus. Are you dwelling in him? Are you positioned with him to take on the enemy? Do you know that he has your back? His arms outstretched to lift you up when you fall. His foundation is one of comfort and strength, and it cannot be shaken or moved. Your seat is electric. In other words, it is powered, powerful. You can do all things, the word said, through Christ who strengthens you. But you have to remain in him. settled in Him, positioned in Him, married to Him, and not what you conjure as a natural marriage, but as one supernatural. A relationship ordained of God for you to walk in. Christ is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. And the bridegroom loves the bride with an everlasting love. He is not leaving you. He's got you covered. He came for you and He is coming back for you. But He did not leave you alone until that time comes. So we're not living a defeated life, getting up in the morning and saying, oh, I don't want to live in this place. It's horrible, right? Because He's positioned you just for such a time. He said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another, a helper, that He may be with you forever. And I've spoken on this before, but the Lord keeps bringing it to me. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides in you and will be in you. I got the Holy Spirit, right? You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit. We're to be led and moved by the Spirit. We're to walk in the earth with the Holy Spirit in us, releasing what He wants to release at a time He wants to release it. And it's not goofiness. We're not going around doing things that the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us to do. We're being led by the Spirit. And if the Spirit comes up to me and says, I need to pray for this woman, I'm going to pray for her. If the Spirit says, you need to lay hands on somebody, I'm going to lay hands. But I'm always going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's moving. The Holy Spirit came when Jesus left. He brought Him to us. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, Jesus said, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He's living in us. And we're supposed to allow Him to flow out through us to touch a lost and dying generation. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all that I have said. In John 16, it says at 7, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. As far as concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. John 16:13, it says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into some truth? All truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said He takes mine and discloses it to you. Preferred seating. Seated in Christ Jesus and not left alone. But I've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit living in you. I am positioned well for the journey. I'm not a poor little victim waiting to be beat up by the devil and the world around me. I'm positioned. I'm positioned come what may. I've had a lot of horrific things happen in my lifetime, and I'm only 56 years old, and I'm still positioned. Doesn't mean I don't feel pain. Doesn't mean I don't sob at things that are injustices in the world. But when I get up in the world, I get up in the morning, I'm in my seat. I'm positioned in Christ Jesus so I can face the day, whatever it's going to bring. The Holy Spirit, the Word said, is the abiding presence. It's in John 14:16. The Holy Spirit is the teacher and reminder. It's recorded in John 14:26. He's the testifier, the guide, the voice of God, and prophet. The glorifier of Jesus. John 16:14. The discloser of Jesus. The witness to sonship, and I say sonship and daughtership, if you will. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit what? That we are children of God. Amen. That's a good place to get up in the morning. Whatever happens, Daddy's with me. Jesus is in me, and the Holy Spirit's going to flow through me. So if I'm dealing with a crisis, I'm not dealing with that crisis alone. He's with me. He's in me. Whatever challenges I face during the day, he's with me. He's in me. And he'll take that, whatever it is, and turn it around, what does the word say, for our good, if we have our faith and trust in him. The word says the Holy Spirit is the source of what? Power. Acts 1:8. Jesus, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So when I say preferred seating, dwelling in salvation, established and also positioned in power for the here and now, and it's in Christ that I'm seated. 2 Timothy says, God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that when we're dealing with a crisis. We could easily get flustered. We could easily start to panic. And you can't do that, can you? Because if you begin to do that, you're going to get removed from what it is God's trying to do. So what do? My day starts out, I've got all these things coming up around me. I'm seated in Christ. That problem or circumstance that stands before me, I'm not moved by it. I'm not going anywhere. I'm seated in Christ Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit in me that's going to be released through me to deal with the situation that's confronting me. And even if it doesn't turn out the way that I think it should turn out, it's turning out the way he intended it to turn out. So I have to trust him. Well, Lord, this person didn't get healed. I lost my job. My wife left me. Whatever the situation may be, maybe he didn't design it as such, but if you hold fast to your seat, if you're in the position that he has you in, he will turn it around for your good. Okay? We're not supposed to walk around as defeated victims. Jesus didn't do it. We aren't. We're conquerors. More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Acts, and with great power gave the disciples witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all. Acts 6:8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders, signs among the people. Acts 19, God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out. Corinthians 2:4, Paul, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And people will love to say, you ain't qualified. Should have saw me 7-8 years ago. I would never have gotten up here. Never. Until the Holy Spirit came on me. And I've said this before, but it's always a continual testimony for me to share with others. Now I'm bold, not because of me. I'm not good enough, but he is. He's good enough to release the word through this vessel. Doesn't matter my education. Doesn't matter my qualifications, because it ain't me that's supposed to be speaking. It's him through me. It's him through you and through you and through you and through you and through everybody in the room. It's not about you. It's about him. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and full of conviction, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for our sake. In Acts 10:38, it says, you know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. The same spirit in him is in you and I, right? And we all know the things that Jesus did, and I've talked about him before, but very quickly, water into wine, nobleman's son healed, centurion's servant healed, catch a fish when there were no fish to be caught, devils cast out, Peter's wife healed, paralytics healed, withered hands restored, the deaf raised to life, issue of blood stopped, the blind restored, the multitudes fed, walking on water. Peter walking on water out to reach him with what? Outstretched arms, because Peter took his eyes off of him. That Holy Spirit in Jesus is in you. Tempest stilled, fig tree blighted, Malchus healed. His resurrection, his appearance to his disciples and his ascension. That same Spirit. Quite a list, wouldn't you say? And that same Spirit operating in Jesus is alive and well in you, the believer, and you can choose to experience him in greater measure as you take your position and dwell in your place. Life is not always going to be easy. If, in fact, we are assured that encounters and trials and attacks are going to come. And I talked about this before. Just go into the Bible anywhere and look at what men of God and women of God had to deal with in their lives. Right? All sorts of horrific things, but they were overwhelmingly conquerors because of their faith. The same faith that God is asking for you and I to raise up in or be raised up in. Jesus was mocked, rejected, people out to kill him, and indeed did kill him. But he knew what he had to do. That Holy Spirit that is within you and I. And Jesus said, it's never going to leave you. I encourage you to take your seat. Get established firmly in the Lord Jesus Christ and embrace the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. Be led by God as you walk out his plan, purpose, and destiny in order to advance the kingdom in the here and now. Watch and see, and the Lord, that the Lord is good, and he's been good in my life. Amidst all the trials and tribulations, I've experienced wonderful things. This life is temporal, but eternal life with the Godhead awaits you and is secured through Christ Jesus. Let me assure you this morning that no other foundation can be laid than that which has been laid, which is Jesus. Affix your eyes on Jesus. Plant yourself firmly in the living word. Don't reject the preferred seating that has been reserved for you.
Is that on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is rather impromptu. When Wayne was ministering the word that the Lord had released to him, when he was talking about the seating, it made me think about something that I wrote maybe 7-8 years ago. And I had this paper stuck in my Bible. And I found it this morning as he was ministering to you. And it's kind of goes along the same line of what the Lord released through Wayne. And it's just a slightly different spin on the seating, preferred seating, I guess you could say, or the seating in Christ. I'm going to read this to you and let it minister to you. Hopefully, it was something that God, the Holy Spirit, released in me. And I wrote down what the Spirit was ministering to me, and this was like 7-8 years ago. So this is what he said. God, I thank you for loving me and never forsaking me. I rest in your loving arms, just like you were a big overstuffed armchair, surrounding me, engulfing me with your loving embrace. Just like a lover, I am engulfed in your arms, freely, totally, and completely loved and taken care of. You are my everything. You complete me. Take me with you in your journey, O Lord. Open my eyes to see things as you see them. Use me, O Lord, to do your works. Let everything I do be for your glory, my Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I am your warrior bride, and I will stand by your side and warfare for you and with you, partner and serve you until eternity. You make me lie down in green pastures. You restoreth my soul. My cup runneth over. Abundance, abundance, you give me more than I need. You take care of me like a husband takes care of his wife. I love you, Lord, completely. You make my heart dance with joy.
Thank you. name, whisper his name, whisper his name, and he will answer you. Whisper his name, whisper his name, whisper his name, and he will come to you. Call out his name, call out his name, call out his name, and he will come to you. Call out his name, call out his name, call out his name, and he will come to you. Shout out his name.
Glory to you in the highest.
He'll run to you like
Jesus. We're going to partake of communion. I'm just going to say a few things. For me, when I asked the Lord about communion, because it was always confusing from when I grew up, and one of the scriptures he gave to me, he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. Okay, so take, eat. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. So as I come to Jesus, I am eating him or partaking of him. When I believe in Jesus, I am drinking him. And the opportunity to come and believe is something that the Word says we should do often in remembrance of him. I can partake of Jesus even when I'm not in the sanctuary. Every time I come to him, I'm eating him. And every time I believe in him, I'm drinking him. And there's so many opportunities out there. But today we're coming together as the body of Christ because the Word tells us we're supposed to do so. It's in Scripture. It was ordained in Matthew, Mark, Luke, 1 Corinthians. Not mentioned in John, but in those Scriptures. Call the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, the cup of blessing, and the breaking of bread. Ordinances can be found scripturally in Acts as well. Talks about having bread and wine, that we're to examine ourselves before partaking. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And it talks about people being weak and sickly because of that. It says, purge out therefore the old leaven that we may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, neither the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It says we are to be partakers of, wholly separated unto God. It says he cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness to it, and show it unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. And these things I write unto you, that your joy may be full. So we're going to take a moment and just reflect. If there's anything that you're harboring, if there's anything that you want to bring before the Lord before you take it, and we're just going to take a moment to do so as the elements are being distributed.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. And so we share in this bread. Sacrifice as a sign. body of our Savior Jesus Christ torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life. Pay the price to make us one.
From the book of St. Matthew 26:26-28, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread. So I ask you to take the bread, and he blessed it, and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the and he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins."
I sing for my Redeemer, the maker of the stars and sea. You looked upon my suffering.